I love the Lord. I love the Lord. He saved us. He healed us. He delivered us. He's good to us. Praise God. We'll pray once more before we get into the Word. Father, thank you for your Word. Lord, this is your service tonight. It's not mine. Father, whatever you want said, may that and that alone be what's said here tonight. Lord, we thank you for this service. Thank you for helping us tonight. Thank you for bringing us higher in you, helping us to answer the call that you have for us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. James chapter 5 and verse 16 says this, "Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed." The second part of the scripture is what I want to look at tonight, though. "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Tonight, we're going to talk about prayer, praying, and specifically praying for our pastor. And now, I know that your pastor has taught on this of late here, and if you're newer here, you know, we only endeavor to do things that are in line with what the Word of God tells us. Amen. And so, we're just gonna follow the Holy Ghost tonight and see what He wants for us. God said to my pastor, Pastor Michael Oketic, that the church's job in the last days is to pray. Yeah. Amen. And if we know that the church's job is to pray, well, then we know that we've got a job that we've got to be skillful in. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Pastor Nancy Dufresne just ministered at the Fredonia Church, and she talked about us being skillful at the things that we're called of God to put our hands to do. Yeah. Amen. So if we're called of God to pray, then we want to be skillful in how we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we're going to learn tonight how to be more skillful at it. Also, we know this, our pastors need our prayers. Yeah. Amen. So if our pastors need them, it's important that we take our place and pray. Praise the Lord. James 5:16 says, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." We know that we've been made righteous by the blood of Jesus. You can put up 2 Corinthians 5:21. Says this, "For he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." See, when we're born again, we're made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. We have to know this when it comes to prayer, because we have to know that we can go before God righteously. See, if we don't know that, we can't boldly approach the throne of grace. Hebrews tells us that we are to boldly approach the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy in time of need. But we can't do that if we don't know that we've been made righteous. See, if you think that you're called to be a lowly worm, which some religions will teach us, right? If we think that we're called to do things lowly and poorly, we're not going to experience the fullness of what God has for us. Amen. But He died for us to be righteous. He died for us to be able to stand before Him right standing and whole. Praise God. Praise God. So to do that, we have to know that we can come to it. We have to know that we can go to God as a Father. Amen. That's why it's so important that we understand what righteousness means. That when we're able to go to God with righteousness on us and in us, that means that no matter what happened that day, we can still go to our Father. See, my kids, they're not perfect by any stretch, but they can always come to me. And they know that I have their back. They know that I love them. They know that I'm for them. Amen. And so when we know that about our Father, we can go to Him no matter what's going on in our life. That's what He wants from us in prayer. Amen. That's what He wants from us in our prayer lives. That it's, you know, we're going to talk about some things tonight that have to do with, I don't want to say formulas of prayer, but ways to be effective at prayer. And we can easily get tripped up with that and think that that means that, you know, we have to pray only this way. You know, no, as long as we go to our Father, we're praying. Amen. Praying is, we can complicate it, but it's really just having a conversation with our Father. Amen. When my kids don't have to ponder if they can have a conversation with me. If they do, then I'm doing something wrong as a father. And that's me. How much more our Heavenly Father? Yeah. Amen. He's so good to us. So we know that no matter what's going on in our lives, we can go to Him and we can say, "Father, I love you and I'm thankful for you and the plan that you have for me. And then we pray effectively, like we're going to talk about tonight, how to pray for our leadership specifically, for our pastors. Amen. That word availeth much. In the Greek, that's the word dynamis. And that word dynamis is where we get our word dynamite from. And think about that. You know, we think of prayer as maybe this soft, holy thing that, you know, and it is. It is holy that we can approach our Father, our Heavenly Father. But also, there's something mighty about it. That when we pray, we make power available. And that word power is the same word that's used for dynamite. You know, when you think of dynamite, you don't think of something small and soft, right? You think of something that packs power behind it, that can move mountains, that can change things around it instantly, that it impacts things. And that's when we pray, we make that kind of power available. Amen. The New Living Translation of this verse says, "The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results." Listen, has great power and produces wonderful results. See, your prayers produce power in the spirit to accomplish things that need to be done in the spiritual realm. We know that there's a spiritual realm and there's a natural realm. And this world that we see was created based on the spiritual realm, that's more real than this one. This world will pass away, but that realm will last forever. And that's the realm where we're born again into to live forever in. So when we pray, we act out of our spirits to make power available in that realm for God to be able to do the things that He wants to do. You know, in the Fredonia Church, we just went through a big remodel project, as you know, because we bought a building, beautiful historic building. We remodeled it over about 2 years. We lived in it for about a year, and then we had a fire. And so we got to remodel it again. And which is, you know, we said there's things we do differently the second time. And we did do things differently the second time. And so, praise God, it worked out in our favor. Amen. I don't believe God caused the fire, but He certainly used it to our benefit. Yeah. Amen. We've got a building now, and if you've been there for maybe the Pastor Nancy services, or maybe you've seen us on live stream, it's magnificent. It's absolutely glorious, and it's a testimony of what God will do for His people. But when we first bought that building, we bought it from a congregation that had about 15 people in it. So they didn't have much finances to do anything there that really needed to be done, any of the upkeep or anything. And they did services quite a bit different than we do. You know, they had an organ that didn't take very much power to run, and they had such a small congregation that they'd meet in one of the air-conditioned office rooms instead of the main sanctuary, which was not air-conditioned. So when we moved in, you know, we said we want to put in a nice sound system in here. We want to upgrade the air conditioning system eventually. There's plans and vision that we had for what we wanted to accomplish. But to do those things, it was going to require more power. Because in that building, there was a 100-amp breaker panel. Now, if you don't know what that means, because I don't really understand what it means, it just means there isn't very much power capability that can come through the building. It's a breaker panel. It's about this big by this big. It's got so many switches on it, and that's all it can do is just put through 100 amps of power. Well, our air conditioning system that we now have in there takes more than 100 amps of power just to switch on by itself, not including the rest of the building that we need to run. So you see, if we were going to try and complete the vision that we had for it, we would have come up short in supply of power. So we had to upgrade our service panel. We upgraded it to a 400-amp service panel. So now we could do everything that our vision entailed for us. And see, our place in prayer for our pastors and the things that they're called to do, the messages that they're called to preach, especially Pastor Mike, and you know, he shared here, of course, about the miraculous things that his ministry is called to. And you all get to be a part of that. And you get to be a part of that in prayer especially. Because there's miracles that are going to take, could we say, 200 amps of power. And if he's only got a church that's providing 100 amps of prayer, it's going to come up short. Yeah. I've seen this in action before. I've been in churches where the Holy Ghost was trying to move and trying to do supernatural things, help people. You know, help people. That's what the Holy Ghost wants to do. He wants to help people. And I've been in services and seen that happen. And, you know, the spirit of prayer came on me. What's the spirit of prayer? It's when you're moved to pray, so much so that it almost hurts in your body. You have to pray. And that happened to me in the service. And as I was praying, I realized I was praying for exactly what God was doing in the service at that moment. And it's good that, you know, there was someone there. God could have used anybody that was sensitive to Him. It's good that there was someone there that could do that. But if there hadn't been, that service would have fallen short of what God had for it. But it wasn't God's highest and best that it happened that way. See, you know, you don't, none of us want to live paycheck to paycheck, right? We ought to have a nest egg built up. We ought to have savings built up so that if something happens, we have something to dip into. That ought to be the same thing that our prayer is making that power available for the church, so that when our pastor goes to do a miracle, he doesn't go to lay hands on him and get a non-sufficient funds notice, right? We're praying and building up that power ahead of time, building it up, so that any time that God needs to use that power that we've now made available, it can flow. Amen. See, our prayers, they benefit us, of course, because we know that when we sow, we reap. When we sow into the Spirit, we reap of the Spirit. That means that God blesses us when we endeavor to have a life of prayer. God will bless us for it. He has to. His Word promises it. It says, they that pray or give in secret, God will reward them openly. God wants to make an example of prayers. You know, He wants people to see that prayers aren't just weird people that don't have anything better to do. The prayers are the most effective people in the body of Christ. See, the fivefold ministry is great, and we need the fivefold ministry. We need our pastors. We need every office that's in there. But without people praying, nothing can be accomplished. And that's where we come in. That's where we get to take our spot. That's where we get to make that power available. And what a great honor for us. Amen. I want to say this, and I say this, you know, humbly, of course, because this is not my church, but as I was preparing this message, I heard some things in my heart, and I want to share them tonight, not as a correction, but as a challenge to help us come up higher. Amen. And if this goes over your head tonight, maybe you're visiting or newer to the church, you know, there's folks that have been here, been with Pastor Mike for a long time, and, you know, that's, take this to heart for all of us as well. You know, I pray for Pastor Mike too. He's not only my friend, but he's a pastor in the family churches, and so I pray for him often. But this came on my heart. There are those here who think that because South Dayton is larger and the church was first, that it'll pick up the slack of this place, that we don't need to pray. See, we're allowing the power to be diverted to another location and shorting out what God wants to do in this whole ministry. The ministry of the miraculous must have power, and it isn't just going to come from South Dayton. Yeah, amen. Yeah. So let that be a note to us, that out here in Allegheny, we have a job to do too. Amen. We have this, the ministry that's happening here is just as much happening in Allegheny as it is in South Dayton. Yeah. Miracle Mike is just as much for this place as he is for South Dayton. Amen. And, you know, I know that you know that. That means that that's going to take power to do it. Amen. An efficient power system isn't one that has to draw its power from very far away. It's one that has its engine up close to it, right? And so we're gonna generate that power here. Amen. You know, scripturally, Paul also asked the church to pray for his ministry. And we know that. 1 Thessalonians 5:25, you can just write these down. 2 Thessalonians 3:1, Hebrews 3:18. In all those scriptures, Paul said, pray for us. Paul, the Apostle Paul. You know, he knew God, I'd say. Would you say Paul, the Apostle Paul, knew God? He knew God. He was effective in the ministry, but how was he effective? He tells us. He asked people to pray for him. Yeah. And if he needs people to pray for him to be effective, our pastors need us to pray for them to be effective. Amen? And we want our pastors to be effective, not just for us. You know, it's good that we get blessed from their ministry, but think of all the lives that'll get impacted. Yeah. See, we may not be able to impact the same people that God has called our pastor's voice to impact, but we can make our pastor's voice go further by lifting them up in prayer. Amen. That's our job as believers, is to help our pastors, to be a blessing to them. Now, I want to look at Acts chapter 12, and we're going to see that prayer protects our leaders. We know we need to pray for our leaders, but we're going to see how prayer protects them. Acts chapter 12. Verse 1 says, now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James the brother of John with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to the four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. So up till this point, we see Peter's kind of on the same road that James was on. And that's not a very good road to be on. Amen. Too many times in all throughout the history of the Bible, all throughout the history of God's people, his people wait until things get really bad before they do something about it. You see that all throughout, you know, and we look in the Bible and say, oh, why'd they do that? Why'd they do that? But it happens over and over and over again. And I'm sure some of us, even in our lives, can say the same things. You know, I've seen believers do it that love the Lord, that they wait until things get really, really, really bad before they come and ask for help, or before they try and change it or do something about it. Let's not let that be said of us, you know. Now, I'm not saying that anything's happening. Of course, Pastor Mike's not in jail tonight, right? And he's not on death row or anything like that. But we don't want it to get to a point where someone comes up for a miraculous healing, right? And he goes to lay hands on him, and there's no power available. See, that would be devastating. It'd be devastating to the Spirit of God. It'd sure be devastating to that person that needed their miracle that night. See, we have a responsibility to make power available so that God can do the things that he wants to do. Amen. But here we see Peter's on the same road as John, or as James was. But the church, thankfully, thank God, the church took note of it when what happened to James happened to him. They took note and they said, listen, we can't let this happen again. Not to Peter. We've already let it happen to one of our leaders. We can't let it happen to another leader. And so they took note of it and they did something about it. So verse 5, Peter was therefore kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. See, the church took note of it and they did something about it. They didn't protest. They didn't picket, right? They didn't go raid and storm Herod's gates. No, they prayed. Why? Because they knew what prayer could do for their leadership. They knew that prayer would extend the divine hand of protection over Peter. They knew that prayer and prayer alone would deliver Peter out of the hand of the snare of the fowler, right? The Bible promises us that. And they took their place in prayer. And look what happened. Verse 6. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door that kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and smote Peter on the side, and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said to him, Gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said to them, Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came to the second, to the iron gate that led to the city, which opened to them of his own accord, and they went out, and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. Now when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel, and has delivered me out of the land of out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. See, Peter knew that it was prayer that got them out of that situation. Prayer and prayer. Peter knew that it was God's divine hand popping in and mixing up in the situation. See, we want God in our situation, right? We don't want to live just a natural life. We want some super in our natural. Amen. To have super in our natural, this is how we do it. We become a people of prayer. You know, when we protect our ministers and our pastors, those that we're called to pray for, those that we're called to sit under in their ministry, you don't need to ask God if you're supposed to pray for him then. We know that's just part of the calling. God's called us here to feed under them. He's also called us to be a supply to the ministry. That means we give. That means we pray. Amen. Those are characteristics of that. You know, I'm a huge science fiction guy. I love sci-fi. One of my favorite sci-fi shows is Star Trek. I know I'm showing my nerd card here tonight for you, but I love Star Trek. But on Star Trek and a lot of those space shows, they have those ships, and the ships have what are called shields on them. And the shields act as protection for the ship. Now, the shields can be at a certain percentage, and the higher the percentage they are, the less that the attack can get through and actually hurt the ship. The shield absorbs it. See, I know this is a stretch, but you're with me tonight, right? When we pray for our pastors, we create that shield around them. We create that shield around them, not only in the natural like they did for Peter here, but in the spirit. See, you don't know the attacks. We don't know the attacks that come against our pastors. We don't know the attacks that come against our leaders, because the devil knows that if he can take out the leader, he can scatter the sheep. Amen. And so our place is to lift them up in prayer, to provide that shield of protection around them in prayer so that the enemy can't get to them. Because, you know, we may say, well, who's praying for me? Who's helping me? Your pastor. Amen. Listen, you're on the ship, right? And if the ship goes down, you're going down.
Yeah.
And so we know that as long as our pastor's at the helm, he's going to help carry us through whatever we face in life. He's going to help take us to the other side of the galaxy, right? But if the ship gets taken out, we're going down. So we have a place to occupy in prayer.
Amen.
And we're going to do that. Amen. We're going to take our place. Turn back just a couple of pages. I want you to see something in Acts chapter 10 here. See, prayer protects our leaders, but prayer also ushers in what God wants to do for his people.
Amen.
Acts 10 verse 1 says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house. And I want you to take note of this because I mentioned this earlier. This is a man that feared God. So we could say that these are the two characteristics of someone who fears God. And we know this, but just in case you're newer, fear doesn't mean to be afraid of God. It just means to reverence and honor him, to have respect for him and his things, to show love for them. It says he feared God with all his house. He gave much in alms to the people, and he prayed to God always. See, those are characteristics of someone who loves God. They like to give, and they like to pray. And if those are things we don't like to do, we need to boost up our faith on our love walk a little bit. Do I really love the Lord? Because Jesus said, if you love me, first he told pastors, if you love me, feed my sheep, right? But for us, we know that where our treasure is, there our heart is also. We know that when we pray for something, we're sowing time into that. Time is money, as they say. And as we sow and sow and sow, we're showing God, listen, I love you. I love your things. I love to give myself for them. See, we can sing and worship songs all day long. Lord, I give you myself. I sacrifice. I consecrate. I dedicate. But the act of actually doing it, it's great to sing it for 5 minutes in a worship song. But when the rubber meets the road, are we actually doing it? It's an act of consecration to God, to pray to him, to dedicate, to pray for our leaders. Because we like to pray for ourselves. We like to pray for our stuff. And it's good. God's interested in our stuff. It's not selfish to do that. He wants us increased. He loves us, and he's interested in what we're interested in. But at the same time, when we sacrifice of ourselves, of our wants, of our needs, of our desires, and say, Lord, I want your things. I want your things to have power. I want your things to accomplish what they're supposed to accomplish. That's when God takes note of it. That's when things start to change. Just like they did for Cornelius here. Verse 3, he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming to him, saying to him, Cornelius. When he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside, and he shall tell thee what thou ought to do. When the angel spake to Cornelius, was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. When he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. See, these characteristics here, like I said, people of God are givers and their prayers. But this thing that happened here, this was a supernatural occurrence, right? I don't know about you. I don't have angels showing up in my living room all the time talking to me about stuff. And if this happening to you all the time, we need to have a conversation about some things because it doesn't happen all the time. And if it is, there may be some other things that are going on there. So maybe you had too much spaghetti. I don't know what it might be. But if that's the case, here we see for Cornelius, he was a man who was always praying. That made power available for God to move supernaturally in his life. But it didn't stop there. God moved supernaturally more than that. Verse 9. On the morrow, as they went on their journey, they drew nigh unto the city. Peter went up unto the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowl of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, call thou not uncommon." This was done three times, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house, stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, was lodged there. See, this next part here that we see, this vision that Peter had, that was a supernatural transaction. See, every time something happens that's not natural, that's supernatural, we could call that a transaction, right? Just like when you go to the store to make a transaction, maybe with your credit or debit card, you swipe that card, there's an exchange. You receive something, and you spend money to receive that something. See, if we want to receive these things in the Spirit, because we want visions like this. We want our leaders to be having visions like this. We want our leaders to be moving, God to be moving on them in such a way that blesses not only us, but the whole body of Christ. For those things to happen, this took, we could say, a price in the spiritual realm. And that price had to be paid with power. And that power is made available because one man prayed. Because Cornelius gave himself to prayer, God was able to move supernaturally in this time. And we read later on in the chapter there, verse 34, said, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him." See, these scriptures to us, we take them, God's not a respecter of persons. We love that because that means what he'll do for one, he'll do for another. You know, I love that because I've heard the financial testimonies that your pastor has shared. And I can say, listen, Lord, I've said this. If you'll do that for Pastor Mike, you'll do that for me. You know, as Pastor Mike always says, I'm his favorite. He says that all the time. He's God's favorite. I'm also God's favorite. You know what? You're also God's favorite. He would have sent Jesus to die if it was just for you. He's not a respecter of persons. That's one thing that means. The other thing it means, and this was, we could say this, it upended Peter's theology at the time. Because at the time, the Gentiles could have no part in the faith in God. They couldn't have part in the Jewish faith unless they tried to attain to it like Cornelius did, but they never quite got in because they weren't blood. And they couldn't, you know, no one that was a Jew that now was walking as a Christian, they didn't know that this could now be opened up to Gentiles before this. So this was a supernatural upending of the theology of the day. God was now moving in a new way in the body of Christ that he'd never moved in before. See, we want God to move in new ways for us. We love the ways he moves already, but we want to see the miraculous flows that we've never seen before. I've never seen arms grow out. I've never seen people, you know, I've seen some people in wheelchairs get up and walk, but I haven't seen, for, you know, a quadriplegic get up and walk, for instance. But these are things that Jesus died for to happen. And it's good and right that they happen. But for them to happen, it's going to take a move of God that none of us have seen before. How's that going to happen? Power. And how does power come? Prayer. By us taking our place in prayer, that's what brings the people up out of the wheelchairs. That's what grows the arms out. That's what brings the eyesight back. That's where the supernatural, miraculous flow of God comes into play, is when we take our place in prayer, just like Cornelius did. Brother Hagin, my pastor's spiritual father, Kenneth E. Hagin, he was really the foremost prophet of the 21st century, or the 20th century, and, you know, a tremendous man of God, and helped to usher in really what we believe are the end times before Jesus comes back for us. His ministry did that. And he had a tremendous prophetic ministry and saw supernatural miracles. As part of that, he had people that prayed for him. That was all they did. They were his prayer team, he called them. And there were people who would take their place in prayer that were so effective at it that when they died, when they went home to be with the Lord, he noticed a lack of something in his ministry. He would go to make a transaction and notice that there was something missing that was there before. See, we say, oh, that's sad because no one else was praying. True, but it ought to be inspiration for us. Yeah. That we can be that effective for our pastors. Yeah. We can be that effective in the things of God and praying to make that kind of power available that they notice when we're not here. They notice when we're not praying for something. And that doesn't mean that we go before them and we say, oh, pastor, you know, I'm one of your prayer warriors. I've been praying for you. No, they that do it in secret are rewarded openly. Everyone I've known that's sacrificed to make themselves a person of prayer, God has revealed it to the person that they're praying to. God has shown them that. Why? Because God rewards us openly. He wants us blessed for it. Amen. And also, when you take your place in prayer, you begin to experience things that you won't experience otherwise. Amen. See, prayer, if prayer for us is a laborious chore, we're doing it wrong. Yeah. My kids, you know, they don't hate talking to me. And you may say, wait till they're teenagers. No. We're just going with it tonight. My kids don't hate talking to me. They look forward to when I come home. When I come in the door, they run through the house screaming, Daddy, so that they can get close to me. See, when you love your Father, when you really love Him, when you love His things, when you love what He's about, prayer, an opportunity to talk to Him about something, oh, it's a rejoicing opportunity. You know, and just like, I'm going to go back to Star Trek for a second here. Just like in Star Trek, you know, there's hundreds and hundreds of episodes of Star Trek out there. If every single one of them were exactly the same, we'd get real bored real quick. Yeah. It wouldn't have been a successful series. But why was it successful? Because everyone was different. They went someplace new. They found new people. They went on a new adventure. See, when we take our place in prayer, we get to go places with God. Amen. He'll take us places. He'll help us pray out things that we have no idea maybe what we're praying for, number one. But also, he'll help us pray things out that we may say, wow, Lord, that's amazing. Why? Thanks for showing me that. Why'd you show me that? He can show us that because He can trust us with it. Amen. See, when we protect the things that He shows us, that's when He'll show us more things. Amen. Now, if what I'm saying there goes over your head, don't worry about it. Just put it on the shelf. Take your place in prayer. And one day you'll get there. And I don't say that condescendingly. We're all at different points. You know, there's different spots that we all have to get to. Everybody's a different grade level. Just be the best at the grade you're at. Amen. Now, we looked at why we need to pray. I want to look at how to pray effectively for our leaders. I've shared this illustration before. You can turn to 1 John 5 while I'm talking about this. 1 John 5. You know, I go out to California to Pastor Nancy Dufresne's church quite often for conferences. And I remember the first time that I went out there with Pastor Michael, because I go out there and help him and serve him out there, and it's a great honor to me to do so. And I remember the first time I went out, you know, of course I'm out there serving my man of God, and I want to be a blessing to him. And we rented a vehicle while we were out there. Now at this time, I had a vehicle that really, it wasn't smart, we could say it like that. Inside, and maybe yours is like this. Actually, my vehicle now is newer, and it still is kind of like this. You have the dial on the dashboard where you can point the temperature, warm or cold, right? It's either red or blue. This is old school. Maybe some of you have the new digital one. My wife's vehicle has the new digital system where you just press it in a temperature, and that shows up. There's no red or blue anymore, which is kind of sad. But so that was my vehicle at the time. All I had was red or blue. It had the fan speed, and it had where you wanted it to point. Pretty simple and easy to operate. But we got out there to California, and you know, we got a nice upgrade on our rental vehicle, and so we got in one that was quite a bit smarter than that. And Pastor Michael, he likes things a certain temperature. And if you've known him at all, then you know this is true. He likes it very warm, all the time. Him, a perfect day is 95 and humid. And I'm thinking, dear Jesus, keep me in the building wherever he goes when he's called to do that. I just want to be in the air conditioning. But in this vehicle, you know, my job, I'm out there to be a blessing to him, to help him, to serve him. And I just cannot get the temperature right in this car. It's either blasting heat on our faces, which he doesn't want that, of course, because he may like it warm, but not, you know, a heater in the middle of summer. Or it's blasting freezing cold air conditioning, which is also not a blessing to him because it's cold and he doesn't like the cold. And he's not picky or anything. That's just I know how he likes it, and I want to be a blessing to him and a help to him. And so I'm thinking, we're driving to service, and I'm trying to get the hang of this, and I just can't figure it out. And so finally, the next morning, I get up extra early, and I go out to that car, and I looked at that little center gauge there, and I said, I'm going to figure you out. And I went on my phone, and I looked up the instructions as how to operate the climate control in the vehicle we were in. And you know, there was this little button there. That little button said auto. And all we had to do was press that auto button, put the temperature at exactly where he wanted it for his side, I could have it where I wanted it for my side, and everybody was happy. What happened? I didn't know how to use the system, so I wasn't effective at it, and it didn't bless me. See, when we come to the things of God, we got to know how to use them so that we can be effective in them. You know, when we say these things, anything that we teach here, especially when it comes to the things of prayer, because we can easily get tripped up on this kind of stuff that, you know, okay, Pastor Scott taught me about how to pray tonight, so now I'm going to go home and I have to pray exactly this way, just like he said to do. We're not trying to bring religion into our prayer life. Amen. These are formulas. These are things that the Word tells us that will help us pray effectively. But ultimately, we have to remember that when we go to God, we just go to God. Just go to Him having a conversation. You know, it's okay. We know when we pray for our leaders how to be effective in it. But it's also okay to wake up in the morning and say, Father, thank you for today. There's no scripture that says exactly those words, but you pray from your heart towards your Father. That's what blesses. Amen. That's where the blessing's at. So we've got to remember that. 1 John 5, we're going to be effective in our prayer life. 14 says this, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. See, we want to know that when we pray, He's hearing our prayers. And this is how we do it. We pray according to His will. Well, we may say, what's the will of God? How can I possibly know what the will of God is? I'll give you a secret. It's this. This is the will of God. The Word is the will of God. Everything in the Word is the will of God for your life, the will of God for the earth, the will of God for your finances, the will of God for your health. Everything in here is the will of God for you. The will of God for your prayer life, the will of God for your pastors, the will of God for your family. This Word is His will. So when we pray according to the Word, we're praying in line with His will. Then we know we have confidence that He hears us. And that's what we need. You know, there's so many folks out there, and you've heard them, there's so many country songs about it. Oh, there's all sorts of different songs, but especially country songs. I don't know what it is. That they think, okay, Lord, if you hear my prayer, Lord, I hope you hear this prayer. Lord, I sure hope that this prayer hits your ears. Lord, if you choose to answer this prayer, listen, we have a Bible-written guarantee from God how to know that He's not only hearing our prayers, but that He's granting the petitions of them. He tells us it in His Word when we pray in line with His Word. So that's why we look at these scriptures as we pray out tonight, not to put us in a religious mindset, but to know that this is how we be effective in it. Amen. See, Pastor Michael, he has this illustration, and I have to give him credit for it because it's not mine yet. But this is, I guess the rule is once you do it three times, you can make it yours. So this is my second time using it. So I only need one more before I don't have to credit him for it anymore. But this one, he talks about being effective in prayer life. You know, your pastor loves archery hunting, right? I'm sure you knew that. Maybe some of you are archery hunters here tonight. I don't know. When you go to archery hunt, say that the target is right over there. Here's my deer. I'm not just going to pull my arrow back and boy, I sure hope I hit that deer. Why haven't I hit that deer yet? Why don't I have my venison yet? What's happening? I'm not being effective in it. I'm not being focused in it. See, when we pray in line with the Word of God, we're now targeting. We're being effective. You can get done more in 5 minutes of effective prayer than you can in 5 hours of praying from your soul, praying from your mind, praying, oh Lord, I hope you hear me. Oh Lord, bless me. Oh Lord, all those things. No, we want to be effective, right? And this is how we do it. We pray in line with His Word. Now, some of these you already know because they're on those prayer cards that I know Pastor Mike gave out a little while ago. But there's two I want to look at that aren't on the prayer cards because they're important for us to see. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. My time's almost gone already. My goodness. I know it's fall back. Hey, that means I haven't even started yet, right? We got an extra hour here tonight. I'm negative 20 minutes right now. All right. Just kidding. Don't get scared. That was a joke. We're almost done. We're fixing to close, as they say. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. And you can fill in your own name in this prayer, but you can fill in your pastor's name in this prayer, which I'll do here tonight for you to understand how to do this. Verse 16, I cease not to give thanks for Pastor Mike, making mention of him in my prayers, that the God of my Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give to him the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of his understanding being enlightened, he would know what is the hope of his call, of your calling, Lord, and what is the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of your power towards us who believe, according to the working of that mighty power, which you wrought in Christ when you raised him from the dead, set him at your own right hand in heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. These scriptures, when we pray these out, we could go through this verse by verse, but we don't have time tonight. But what this is praying out is simply for your pastor or whoever you're praying them for, yourself, but specifically tonight we're talking about our pastors, for them to understand the will of God for their life, for them to know what the will of God is. See, when Peter stepped out of the boat onto the water, he had to know that it was God that called him to do that. He had to know that he had a word from heaven and now step out. There's things that your pastor is going to be called to step out to do. He's got to know that it's the will of God to do it. See, you know, I think of Smith Wigglesworth, that great man of faith who lived in the early 20th century. You know, he did some tremendous miracles. I remember one time he raised, I think it was 23 people from the dead under his ministry. Not one time, over the course of his ministry he did. But one of those times, there was a woman that someone brought up, and she was dead in the service. They brought her up on a bed, and she was dead. And, you know, they knew that, hey, this man has, people have been raised to life before in his ministry. It could happen again. So he didn't go up to her and pray some pretty prayer and say, Lord, raise her from the dead. No, he picked up her dead body, and he threw it at the wall and said, live in Jesus' name. And he did that three times. Think about that for a second. I mean, CNN, Fox News would actually be in agreement on something that that person is crazy for doing that, right? It would be nuts if we saw that today. Smith Wigglesworth had to know that he knew that he knew that that was the will of God for that situation. Because he knew he could walk it out. Now that's an extreme example, but for every arena of what our pastors have to do, whether it's a specific miracle or the ministry as a whole, they need to know that they're hearing from heaven so that they can step into what God has for them. And that's what these prayers pray. The Message translation, listen to this, says, but I do more than thank, I ask. Ask the God of our Master Jesus Christ, the God of glory, to make you intelligent and discerning in knowing him personally, your eyes focused and clear, so that you can see exactly what he is calling you to do, grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life he has for Christians. See, when we pray for our pastors, these scriptures for them specifically, and you can, it's not a religious act to pray these out as long as our heart's behind it. Right? Just like in the offering, you can give religiously or you can give with your heart. You can pray religiously or you can pray with your heart. You attach your heart to these scriptures, that's when they become effective and make power available for our pastors to do the immensity of what God's plan is for them. Now, the second one I want you to see here is just flip over one page, Ephesians 3. So now we've prayed that they know the will of God, but there's another step here. Verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he'd grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ would dwell in Pastor Mike's heart by faith, and that he, being rooted and grounded in love, would be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that he'd be filled with all the fullness of God. See, these scriptures now, we've, number one, we've prayed for them to know the will of God. These scriptures pray for them to have strength to walk out the will of God. And we see this all throughout the Bible. You know, Joshua, his job was to lead the Israelites into the promised land. He knew that that was the will of God to do. God said, where the sole of your foot shall tread, I've given to you. Joshua 1 says that. But also, three times in Joshua 1, God tells him, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? See, our pastors can know what they're called to do, but there's got to be strength in them to walk that out. It's got to be strength. Just like any of us that take a step into faith, it takes strength in our hearts to do that, to stand in faith, right? We know that there's the battle of faith, that it takes strength to stand sometimes. But when we take that, when we pray these prayers, we're now helping boost up and strengthen them. The Message translation of this one just helps us see it clear. It says, I ask him to strengthen you by his Spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength. See, when we take our place in prayer for our pastors, when we begin to pray these scriptures and others that I'm just going to mention to you tonight, when we do that for them, we've now equipped them to know the will of God for their life and ministry, and to have the strength to walk out the will of God for their life and ministry. Nothing can be denied from us at that point. Nothing can be stopped from us because we know we have the Word of God and we have the strength to accomplish it. Just write these ones down if you would. Acts 4, 29 and 30 talks about when the enemy is moving against us. It asks us to pray for boldness for our leadership. Boldness in ministry. And that's one I believe is on your prayer cards for your pastors. Why? Because when we preach the Word, it always brings light, and light dispels darkness. So we want them to have boldness. The other one is 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 and 2, and I know that's on the card, but that talks again about the Word going forth, having free course, being glorified. See, if the Word's not preached in a ministry, the Word's not a part of my pastor's life, I'm just going to a club. And there's what's the benefit of that? I could stay home and do nothing, you know? No, we want the Word here because the Word is what brings power. The Word is what brings life. The Word is what brings change. And the Word is what brings the miraculous. Amen. Amen. And lastly, we'll close with this one. Romans 8:26. If you can put that up on the screen. Romans 8:26. And of course we know this. We've heard this one before. Praise the Lord. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities when we know not what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. See, the Holy Ghost is our helper, right? Jesus said that the Holy Ghost is our helper. So when we ask Him, when we pray in other tongues like the Bible tells us to do, you know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, praying in other tongues is a real thing for believers. It's in the Word of God. And it's still for today. It didn't die off. Praise the Lord for it. I'm so thankful for the Holy Ghost. But because of that, He's my helper in prayer. See, I can pray out those four scriptures in less than 5 minutes. And I've been effective. That doesn't discount the fact that we've now made power available. We've prayed for deliverance from unreasonable and wicked men. We've prayed for the Word to have course. We've made strength available. All those things. But when we say, Holy Ghost, You're my helper. Help me to pray for my pastor now. Then we take off maybe for another 5 minutes praying in tongues. See, the Holy Ghost knows exactly what your pastor might be going through. He knows exactly the situations that your pastor is going to be facing. He knows exactly, you know, you don't know, maybe your pastor's going to a store one day and there's a person there that needs healing. There's not a whole service to gather behind that and lift up the name of Jesus. But the Holy Ghost knows that's going to happen. And He could have had you already praying to make that power available for Him. Amen. So when we take our place in prayer, we've now become more effective as believers, but we've allowed our pastors to become more effective in what they're called to do. We're all called to do this to some way. And it requires a sacrifice on our part, because it's not always fun, but it can be if we're doing it the right way. Praise the Lord. I just want to close with this. You know, Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of worship. No. Did He say it shall be called a house of miracles? He didn't. He said it shall be called a house of prayer. See, Jesus knew that for all those other things to happen, for good preaching to happen, for good worship to happen, for the miraculous to happen, Jesus knew that people had to be a people of prayer. So we're going to be a people of prayer. Amen. We're not just going to leave it to South Dayton, and we're not just going to be lax about it. We're going to take our place in prayer for our pastors because they need us to. They need us to. God needs us to accomplish what He wants to do. What an honor to help do that. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You that it's a help to us. Thank You that You didn't leave us down here high and dry, but You gave us hope, and You gave us help, and You gave us instruction, and it's in Your Word. And Father, we're so thankful to be children of God. Lord, as each person in this room tonight, I don't know all of them, so with heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to give an invitation here tonight. Maybe you're in this place, and you know, we talked about tonight taking our place praying for our pastors, and maybe you either don't have a pastor, or maybe you do, and it's not Pastor Mike, or maybe you're not even in the body of Christ. What does that mean? You're not born again. What does born again mean? Born again simply means that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you've acknowledged that he's the Son of God, that God sent him to the earth to die on the cross for us, to go to hell in our place so that we didn't have to, like we said earlier, to make us righteous before God so that we can now spend eternity in heaven with him. And so the guarantee that Jesus brings with him is not only a good life here on earth, but more importantly, he brings us an eternity of heaven. And that's a wonderful guarantee because we are a spirit creature. See, when we die, our bodies, they may pass into the ground and you know, decompose and nothing comes of them. But our spirits are inside our bodies and our spirits live on forever. And they can live on in one of two places, either in heaven, which is a glorious place. There's no suffering there. There's no pain, no sorrow. Or they can live in hell, which is a real place. And it's an awful place. It's not a party like it's been made out to be by the media or Hollywood. It's an awful, horrible place of suffering for all eternity. And so to guarantee your ticket to heaven, we could say, the only thing we have to do, the Bible tells us, is believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and we shall be saved or born again. So if that's you tonight, you need to make Jesus the Lord of your life. You need to accept him into your heart tonight. I want to give you an invitation to do so. Go ahead and raise your hand now. I'm just looking around. Just me. We won't embarrass anybody tonight. Everyone here may be born again. I just don't want to not give an invitation to it. If you're here tonight and maybe you were born again or you are born again, but you've walked away from God. Jesus gave us the example of the prodigal son who walked away from his father. And he thought that he couldn't go home because his father would be angry with him. But when he did, his father was there and welcomed him back with open arms. And that's an example of your heavenly father. If you're here tonight, you need to rededicate your life to God. I invite you to raise your hand now. Praise the Lord. Just me looking around again. Well, I don't see any hands here tonight. Praise the Lord. So we'll pray. What we're going to do real quick here before we dismiss is just pray out those couple of scriptures that I talked about tonight. You can lead, well, I'll lead by example for you tonight so we can see this. But when we take our place in prayer, I tell you, the world can be changed. Our world can be changed, but also the world around us. Father, we cease not to give thanks for Pastor Mike, making mention of him in our prayers. That, Lord, you'd give to him the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. That the eyes of his understanding would be enlightened. That he would know what is the hope of your calling. What are the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of your power towards him, according to the working of that mighty power which you wrought in Christ when you raised him from the dead and set him at your own right hand in heavenly places. Lord, we thank you that he has understanding of your will for his life, for his ministry, for his family, for everything that you've called him to. Lord, now we pray according to Ephesians 3, for this cause we bow our knees, or we pray unto you, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that you'd grant Pastor Mike, according to the riches of your glory, to be strengthened with might by your Spirit in his inner man, that Christ would dwell in his heart by faith, and that he, being rooted and grounded in love, would be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that he would be filled with all the fullness of Christ. Father, we thank you for Pastor Mike. We thank you for this ministry. Lord, we thank you so much for the call that you have on them. Father, thank you for the sacrifices that they've made to do your will, to do your work, Father. Lord, we thank you for a time of refreshing for them as a family. Thank you, Lord, that he knows your will, that he has strength to walk it out, and, Father, that he's protected from any harm that would come against him, delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, that the word would have free course and be glorified in his ministry. Father, we thank you that he speaks with boldness. And we thank you, Father, for the Holy Ghost, that as we pray in our own private prayer time in the Holy Ghost for Pastor Mike, that you help us, Holy Ghost, to pray out the perfect will of God for his life, for this ministry, and the miraculous things you want to do here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Were you helped tonight?
Amen.
Amen. We're going to be effective prayers. Amen. We're going to be effective prayers. You know, there's a job for us to do. And sometimes I know folks don't always like having a job to do. But the fruit of it, the benefits of it, far outweigh the time that goes into it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Love you guys very much. I always love being with our extended family out here in Allegheny. And have a blessed week. Remember, no midweek this week here or South Dayton. And you're dismissed. Thank you.